I've seen people get the craziest advice from quote unquote pastors, you know. I mean, if somebody, why is it that we think, well, you know, he's a pastor, he's got to know. But that doesn't make a person wise. We need to choose wisdom there. And if a pastor is willing to answer every question you ask him, he's not being wise either. They don't know everything. I don't know everything. You don't know everything. And that, you know, one very important factor in life's wisdom is to know when to say, I don't know. But I have seen in my experience, and it was frustrating. I mean, now I got my own business and everything. But when I was in banking, I saw terrible advice given to people. I mean, I saw people guided to bankruptcy. Oh, you poor thing. And I actually sat down with people because they knew I had some financial acumen, and I would go over their budget and situation. But you know what it was? They didn't want to pay their debt back. You know what happens? You meet two people, one who files bankruptcy and one who fought to pay it all back. The character and integrity of the man who pays it back is multiples better than the other. The other has to go. First of all, if any of you have gone bankrupt, I've been through this, not personally. I've never filed bankruptcy, period. My wife and I have credit going back to the 80s. I was borrowing money from a bank in Bozeman, Montana. Somehow this guy, it was First Citizens Bank of Bozeman. I was a college student. I could walk in there with sweatpants. I looked like a pig. I was a big gnarled out, buffed out, football bodied, you know, beefcake, athletic as all tar, and I could run fast and lift 1,000,000 pounds. And somehow this guy liked me, the VP of First Citizens Bank of Bozeman, Montana. That guy would loan me money to buy cars. Now that I look back, I'm like, I was a really bad loan risk. He's like, what's your income? I work for $5 an hour at the Intermountain Athletic Facility. But, you know, that's kind of an anomaly. But, so we have credit going back to the 80s, to about 86 or 7, whatever that is. You know, that's 35 years of credit. We don't have even one 30-day late. I've had threats of this or that, and I've always dealt with it, but I don't have, like, medical collections on my credit. You know, it's crazy. I spent years in the money biz, still am, and the stories. Everyone's got a story. You know what's interesting? When someone has bad credit or they make mistakes, how often do you think they go, oh, man, I blew it. I really screwed that up. I'll tell you what, never. It's always like, well, you know, it wasn't my fault and it was blah, blah, blah. That is not taking personal responsibility for our lives. We got to take personal responsibility, folks. And some of you, there's some out there that are listening that are like, I do not like what Kevin's saying right now. It boils down to personal responsibility and accountability, period. I don't care now if you got such a big mess and it's too deep and you don't know how to get out, take responsibility. Don't let it sit there and rot. Credit is a reflection of character. It's also a reflection of Big Brother. But then there's people that are like, yes, it's Big Brother. You know, it's tracking me. They're keeping track of stuff. It's none of their business. Sure it is. Because lending organizations need to know how you do when you are given responsibility. And frankly, they know. I was in banking for years, and we knew people go through hard times. But it's how do you handle those times? How much character do you have? And you can get to the point where you have $1 million or $1.5 million line of credit on your signature. That sounds crazy to a lot of you, but it's true. It's character and it's integrity. And that is what it boils down to, frankly. And it's important. I'm telling you, you want to carry around the name of God. You want to be a child of the living God. Think about being a child of the King. And you're walking around and your word's no good. You get given money, you can't pay it back. You're the child of the King. Just say King on an earth. And they're like, oh, you know, that King's daughter or that King's son, their word is garbage. How does that reflect on the King? So we need to have integrity. If you've got issues, everyone's got a story. I've heard them all. But that doesn't make it okay. Because you and I both know we all fudge and stretch and change the details. I just kind of got involved in a... both sides, we'll say, of a divorce. And I listened to one side forever, if you will. That might be exaggerating. But, and then I met the other side and heard the other side. There's two sides to every story. And you gotta understand, if you're wise, you gotta understand, you know, where the Bible says, you know, one guy's story sounds really good. I mean, let's go, I'm gonna take a swing at this. I'm gonna try Proverbs 18, please Lord, be the right scripture. I'm gonna guess. You guys might be surprised sometimes I find this stuff, I don't know how. Okay, here it is. The first, Proverbs 18, 17. The first to plead his case seems right until the other comes, or till another comes and examines him. We all sound great. We have our story built. It sounds terrific until someone else comes along and challenges it. So, we need to be honest with ourselves. We should not fall prey to that scripture. We all have our own personal bias. You ever heard that on my show before? Be true to yourselves. And there's, you know, that goes back to Socrates 30 some hundred years ago. Be true to thyself. It's not even glorifying God, but it's glorifying integrity. Be honest. Take care of your responsibilities. Make your name count. The Bible tells us crystal clear, when we die, guess what we leave behind? Our name, our reputation, and our integrity. I think there's another scripture in Proverbs about our name is all we have, right? Is that Proverbs 26, maybe? Anyway, I won't go there right now. But our name and reputation is our most important thing. That we can offer ourselves, our family, the earth. When we leave, that's it. Maybe it's Proverbs 22. It says a good name is desired before riches or something. Okay, let me take a swing at this. A good name is, let me find something here that's close. I'm sorry. A good name is to be more desired. How about desired? Desired. A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver or gold. Now, you got a silver or gold dealer telling you a good name's better than all that. I can build you a big pile of silver and a big pile of gold, but it will never make up for a bad name. Make your name count. Again, don't know why I went down that road, but I'm having a feeling. The Holy Spirit has got a word for someone out there. Listen. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. Clear your name. Do what's right. You know this thing about, oh, you know, I don't know if you listen to all the garbage. I listen to XM radio and it's like, you know, I owed $100 million to the IRS and I called super IRS slashers and they got my payoff down to 10 bucks. Well, the truth of that is most likely they had so many fees and penalties and malarkey on there, or the IRS will do crazy stuff. If you don't properly file taxes, they will take your hat off. If they're getting 1099s and W-2s and you're not filing the appropriate taxes, they'll charge you the maximum tax rate on every penny and whatnot. And so these agencies that help you out, they'll go square things up, and people are like, I couldn't believe it, you know, I owned $100 million and they got me down. They wanted to take my dog and they wanted to take my truck and they, you know, and you get my point. And they're like, but, you know, Fred down there at Super Tax Slashers, he got me down. I only had to pay $22.67. You know, all that stuff. You shouldn't even be in that situation. I've talked to people that are like, well, I haven't paid taxes for 9 years or whatever. And I'm like, well, you got yourself a problem there, big guy. You better deal with that. You don't do that. And if you have, don't call the IRS first. I've had calls from people that are like, what do I do? And I'm like, do not call the IRS. Call an accountant that's worth a hoot. Work it out first before you go to them. But clear your name. If you're carrying around the name of Jesus Christ or God or whatever, well, you know what I'm saying. It's all one and the same. But if you're carrying that name around and representing him, don't be a flake. Deadbeats do not represent Jesus well. I spent years in banking, and I'll tell you what, deadbeats, they're not good people. I have sat on a telephone. I used to, the good old days, I had to collect debt for my own company, Wells Fargo, basically Norwest Banks, which people don't understand, same corporation, but Norwest was bigger and better, and they got dissolved. They bought Wells Fargo, kept the name, and the Wells Fargo name was, I don't know, whatever. The company wasn't a fraction as good as Norwest Banks was the best company ever. But I got brought up in the old school management training program, and we had to collect all of our own debt. I had to repossess my own vehicles, motorcycles, cars, houses. Yes, I had to yid. And people are like, oh my gosh, you must have been a bad guy. Nah, I just want to, you know, I gave everyone every shot I could. But I remember kind of in my youth, banking youth, before I got into the upper level, calling people at night. I'd go in on Saturdays because I wanted my debt down because it affected my performance. And I called this police officer one time who was a deadbeat. And he had his 10-year-old son answer the phone. And needless to say, his son was not being honest, but his father, who was a police officer, was sitting next to him, coaching him, and for some odd reason, they weren't bright enough to understand that I could hear everything Dad was saying. And at one point I said, "Will you do me a favor?" And he goes, "Sure," the kid. And I said, "Tell your dad that I can hear him coaching you." So he thinks he's muffling the phone. And he says, quote, "He says he can hear you." And his dad, the police officer, says, quote, "No, tell him I'm not here." And the kid, you know, this is too much for a 10-year-old. It's too much for anyone. The kid gets back on the phone and he goes, "My dad says he's not here." And then click. You know, you don't want to be that guy. I don't care if it's a police officer. I had that with pastors, painters, all the P's apparently, teachers, nurses. It doesn't matter. Integrity is integrity. Please, folks, if you're representing the name of Jesus Christ, have integrity. Whatever it takes, please choose integrity. It's not going to always be easy, and you may have to go back and clean up a lot of messes. But you know what? What would the world be without God and Jesus Christ? Do you even understand this foolish concept of evolution and there's no God? Do you even understand what that would really look like? First of all, this concept of this idiotic, brain dead, meaningless, stupid concept of evolution, you know how dumb that is? Do you really think that if all that mattered was survival of the fittest, that you would be you and I'd be me? We wouldn't even exist. The only thing that would exist would be dinosaur-sized crustaceans that destroyed and consumed each other until they killed themselves off, period. It's simple linear mathematics, okay? If might makes right and the strong survive and the weak die, there an evolution was real, which, by the way, we have no missing links, and I don't want to hear about Lucy and all this stupid stuff, because that is not how evolution would be. They have this thing called, I remember learning, a punctuated equilibrium. So all of a sudden, out of the blue, there's just this surge of change. You know, it's not a progressive evolution, it's punctuated equilibrium. Baloney. That's not how it would look or how it would be. Nothing we do would exist. When you have a God of the universe that's given his word from the beginning, and I know people search out and go, well, you know, there are older forms of writings and paganism. I don't care what people lie to you about. There are no older forms because Adam and Eve were made by God. Then the descendants of Seth got whatever word of God. If you look at the actual calendar, not the Egyptian calendar, which has been skewed by at least 250 years, you had the descendants of Seth that... It explains everything that happened all the way through the Exodus and the plagues and the flood, and everything just makes perfect sense and lines up beautifully. We were here. Why do they look at history, if they're honest, and now the twists and turns come? Why are they always looking for some bizarre, sacrosanct, ridiculous example that to somehow, you know, I've talked about the difference between looking at the exception and looking at the rule. You don't look at the exception. Why is it that out of the blue, man pops up, according to godless archaeologists? There he is. Bing! Civilizations start to form. Out of the blue. Well, you know, the reason is because evolution hit a blah, blah peak, and man all of a sudden got self-awareness, and give me a break. What if you just looked at the Word of God? Why is it that the Bible is considered the most accurate archaeological document on earth? No matter what a man's belief is, no matter what an archaeologist's belief is, they love the Word of God. Because the Bible, if it says there was a town here or a town there, they dig and guess what? Bang. There she be. You know? So, I mean, maybe a lot of people, I'm preaching to the choir and they're like, yeah, whatever. I'm just telling you, folks, it makes no sense. It's absolute foolishness. It is a distraction. Please do not be distracted by it. No matter how much you educate yourself to debate it, they're always going to be throwing it out there. It's kind of like in, what is it, 1st or 2nd Peter, where it says that, you know, that the sinners are going to say, well, you know, everything continues as it has from the beginning. And then they throw in, which drives me up a wall, they throw in the word creation. And I'm telling you, here's bias again. All right, I'm going to find this because I certainly had zero intention of discussing this today. But what's new? Let me see if I can find this garbage rajo here for y'all. Finally, okay, let's get rid of the King James. Let's go down to something I can read in English. Let's see here, what do we got? Oh, nice, that worked well. I apologize. Can you give me a break? Thank you. Okay, we're going to have to go with 2 Peter, which maybe I can pop over here real quick. And keep popping. Boom. There we go. Bang, bang. All right. Know this first of all. This is 2 Peter 3:3. Starting. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts. Now, mocking, I'm going to strip this down real quick. That in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking. It is Strong's. They've got 1703 and 1701. The word is too big for me. Empagmos or something. Empahigmas. How's that? Empahigmas. Okay. What does it mean? Mocking or scoffing, making fun of, behaving in a disgusting way or disgusted way, derision. And it goes on and on. It's a form of arrogant disrespect, saying, oh, you foolish, stupid Christians. Blech. You know, no. It says, in the last days, these disrespectful non-believers who have no appreciation for the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, folks, I'm sorry, but it does say some were created for the day of wrath. It doesn't mean that we cast them off and give up. But we need to stand our ground and believe in what we believe, period. Just be strong in your faith. Know what you're saying and what you believe. It says you have to be ready, excuse me, in season and out of season to give a defense for your faith. Can you do it? I have talked to people that are like, well, I'm just not smart like you are, and I just don't know. And I'm like, well, how often do you read the Bible? Oh, you don't. The Word of God will stick to your heart like glue. Shut your TV off. Bow your head. Pray to the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. And then read His Word, and I promise you it'll stick. Remove all your distractions and study the Word of the living God. You are His creation. Comprehend your value. Know your Maker. And read His Word. You are the most incredible, phenomenal creation in existence, and He gave you an instruction manual. It's deep, it's complex. He gave you extensive thought processes. You can comprehend phenomenal things. And the Word of God expands your mind. It teaches you. It makes you the person God intended you to be. So don't tell yourself, oh, I'm just not smart enough. You know, it reminds me, like I've mentioned, I have a master's in applied math and statistics. And one thing that drove me nuts then and later, when I would try to tutor kids and help and teach math, I had kids that I was trying to tutor and teach math to, and their parents or mothers or whatever would be going, well, honey, it's fine if you're not good at math, because I wasn't good at math either, and it's super hard, and don't set your expectations too high. It's the same concept with the Word of God. Well, you know, there's those really smart guys out there that know the Word of God. Yeah, why do they know the Word of God? There's only one way. They read it. They study it. They love it. They drink it up. And it transforms your life. It is the Word of God. I didn't create the rules, folks. I just do my best to live by them. And I'm telling you, it isn't about self-righteousness. There's a form of biblical righteousness, which means you love God. You want His Word. And I want to say this again and again. If you are broken, if you're shattered, if you're in sin, if you're struggling with God knows what, that does not exclude you from being His creation. He hears you. Go to Him. I promise you. He has a plan for you. Get your life into His hands. Then He'll help you straighten it out. So let's keep rolling. Know this, first of all, that in the last days the mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, everything continues just as it was from the beginning of, this is where the translators blow it in every translation I have found. They say the beginning of creation, but it's ketesis. In Greek, it's ketesis. So they're saying the beginning of the beginning. The beginning of the start. The act, this doesn't mean creation by a god. The word ketesis means the act of founding. The establishment of, the building of. And it goes on. It's not. It even goes in later and talks about in rabbinical usage, it's words used by men who believe in idolatry. The sum or aggregate of things created. The institution of or ordinance of. It's not the creation by God. This is the word of God telling us that these people are going to mock you for believing in creation, but they're preaching this phony, filthy lie of evolution. That is the breakdown of every good thing. When I came to Christ, I about fell away. And it was because I had been taught evolution throughout my schooling, and I could not equate the two. I couldn't understand how a God who loved me could even care if it was 4.4 billion years of a great big accident. And I prayed to God. I said, Lord, I'm scared. I am losing my faith, which was pretty weak at the time, and I didn't understand, and I said, I want faith. Praise God, he came through, and I woke up one day, and I had faith, and it's never been broken since, okay? Now, faith and trust are two different things. I'm not going to tell you that I trust in the Lord wholeheartedly all the time in a perfect way. I'm not going to tell you I'm perfect at all. I'm a broken individual. I'm a mess. I'm a human. And I struggle with various things. But I will tell you that God gave me faith. I never lost faith after that, that he's real and that he exists. He's always real and he's always there. And you can have that faith too. I don't know if there's people struggling with that or what, okay? But it says, where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, everything continues just as it has, as it was from the beginning of ketesis, evolution. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, it escapes their notice. In other words, they don't even consider that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And I love that because when you go to Genesis 1 and it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says, now, Ehu, Bohu, Tohu. Now, the earth was without form and void. Folks, this just knocks certain people right off the tee. Something happened. God did not make a mess. God didn't make Bohu and Tohu a big chaotic disaster. He created the heavens and the earth. At some later point in time, he came through and he created a world for us, which is pretty significant because Jesus and Lucifer came here and they're fighting over it. This little tiny solar system and 6 trillion plus stars, which a variety of incredible physics videos I've watched explain, we have the best view of the universe. We're most likely in the center of the universe. I believe that's true. So all these crazy guys, Copernicus and Galileo, they got their heads chopped off because they said we're the center of the universe. The only thing they missed was it was our solar system, not the Earth, or even the Milky Way galaxy, because in the grand scheme of things, the Milky Way galaxy is an infinitesimal fraction of the universe. We are at the center, like it or not. There's a theory called the principle, and it talks about the energy waves and where things are centered at, and they cross. There's two planes of energy, and they cross right at the Milky Way galaxy. And I really won't want to get into that right now. A while ago, I did, and maybe I'll do it again sometime. But we matter. We matter enough that Jesus and Lucifer are here chucking it out. And then I've heard people go, well, I believe there's humans everywhere in the universe. No, there's not. Jesus Christ died once for man, period. Are there some kind of viable conscious beings throughout the universe? Absolutely, we know that. The Bible tells us the sons of God came down, and we've got all this representation of various spiritual beings, and you know, there's different dimensions that we're not exposed to. God gave us some limitations which are necessary for us to have free will. We have to be outside of time. No, that's not true. God's outside of time. What I mean, sorry, we have to be limited on time. We have length, width, height, three dimensions and a half, I say, because you can move forward in time and not back. You can look back, but you can't look forward. That's the only way that we can be redeemable, because we can't change the past. Lucifer can somehow be at singular points throughout time. But if you can only be at a singular point, you can try to manipulate time. But there are no guarantees. If you're God, you see it all, touch it all, hold it all, control it all. Omniscient, omnipresent, and all-knowing. He knows all. He's all-powerful, and he's everywhere. So, but because he's sovereign, he's hands off. People are like, well, how can God know everything and yet let us have free will and blah, blah, blah? The only thing I can come up with is a concept like this. Let's say you had a library, and you had the equivalent of encyclopedias just lined up beyond your wildest dreams. You could go open one up and it would tell you about each individual in depth. But you don't do it. You hope the best, wish the best, answer prayers. Then, when the universe gets wrapped up, that day will come, maybe sooner than later. Then you have all the records pre-written, because you're God, you're outside of time, beyond our comprehension. Within our dimensional realm, it doesn't make sense. I don't even know what it means when you add additional dimensions, but I know enough to know that's the answer to a lot of our questions that seem unanswerable. People are like, okay, I like this one. Can God make a rock so big he can't lift it? All right. Well, there's some circular logic. Real valuable philosophical concepts, right? This is the stuff I got in college philosophy. Really valuable stuff. Can God make a rock so big he can't lift it? I don't know. No. Yes. No. No. Yes. No. Who cares? Because when you add additional dimensions, you blow away what our minds are capable of comprehending, because God gave us that ability. So how about I go back to the scriptures here? There's an idea, getting time-wise here. Saying, where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation, or the beginning of ketesis, evolution. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed. Okay, so we've got the creation out of water, we got the destruction by water, And now he's sitting at the time of Christ, so he doesn't even have to mention it because it's a no-brainer, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present, now we're going to the end, 2,000 years later, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Do not let this one thing escape your notice, beloved. With the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord's not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And then it goes on after that, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar. The elements will be destroyed. I mean, we're all welcoming that, right? With intense heat, the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? If you know things are going to get torched by the Lord, your days are going to come, you're not going to see it coming, it's going to hit hard, fast, and hot, you're going to burn up, what kind of a person should you be? According to the promise, we're looking for a new heaven and a new earth. Well, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. In other words, we want it. Because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we're looking for new heavens and new earth in which, what? Righteousness dwells. If we know God and we love God, we want this. We are tired of the sin. We're tired of the brokenness. I have all these notes on my phone I didn't get to today. Planned lockdown. I watched this video. You gotta watch this video. I don't know where to find it, but try YouTube or PeerTube, I think it was. It's called Planned Lockdown. I think it's Theft of Liberty or something like that. It's amazing. It's almost 2 hours long, and it's just packed with huge names and fantastic doctors. And it talks about what they did to us through COVID and what they're still doing to us. And it's called Planned Lockdown. Where do lockdowns occur? Prison. So this thing's got hundreds of highly qualified medical professionals that are considering Corona is nothing more than the influenza, which is a fact. You got lockdowns, masks, testing, vaccinations, all completely unreasonable and unnecessary. I mean, doctors are coaching, forcing people to use COVID-19 as a diagnosis without any solid tools, any research, or any testing. The CDC coached doctors, and I've seen the emails, to use COVID-19 as a cause of death as maximum as possible. If someone dies within, they said 28 days of any PCR test, which is an absolute farce, so phony PCR positive tests, they are considered as a COVID-19 death. Less than 1% of people have ever died from COVID without multiple underlying conditions. So they may have had COVID, but it's not from COVID. You know, there were no more deaths in 2020 or 2021 than any other year. How is that a pandemic? I mean, how about it's not? Let's go with that. Can I go ahead and get you to agree with me on that? The deals, they had all these deals cut with the World Health Organization about vaccines, and I mean, I just don't have the time to get into it. It's unbelievable. Money, sadly, corrupts nearly every soul. Ephesians 7. I don't even have time to go there. Ephesians. How about Ecclesiastes? Can we do that? Solomon says, and this is what came to my mind. He says, I've searched the world over. You know, it's funny, I'm an old guy, but they have that funny song that used to be out there. I searched the world over and thought I found true love. But anyway, so it says, behold, I have discovered this, says the preacher, adding one thing to another to find an explanation, which I am still seeking but have not found. I have found one man among a thousand who is righteous, but I have not found a woman, oops, sorry, girls, among these. And that's fine. You're made to support and love and encourage your husbands, and I know the world tells us differently, but it's not relevant. The point is, I've found one man in a thousand that's righteous, period. That's pretty low. He says, I found only this, that God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. We've taken a detour. God made us upright, and I looked up the Hebrew. I won't get into that today. We've got extreme deaths from hunger, suicide, alcoholism, disparagement, desolation. You know, and I can go on. The essential business stuff, on and on and on. I just didn't leave myself time. I know you've never seen me do that before. So today, what we'd learn, who knows, something hopefully. But anyway, I will kind of leave it there. We got 2 Peter, Proverbs, we got a number of things anyway, so I'll leave it at that. I wanna drop off here, and as always, folks, I, with what's going on, when I saw this video, the planet lockdown, folks, this is so orchestrated and so organized. Why do you think Melinda Gates is leaving Bill Gates divorce? Because he's lost his mind, but he's corrupt. He wants to do a lot of evil things around the world. We're under attack. Is it coming or going, or are we near the end? Doesn't it look like World War III? You need metals, period. Period, 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 period. Bitcoin, you shut the electronic system down, switch, done, gone, your money's gone. I am past the deadline here, or past the closure of my radio show, but I'm still recording. So I will tell you, please secure your wealth in God's money. Call Coins Plus 509-444-0044. We will help you secure your financial assets in a way that is permanent, timeless, biblical, conservative, and constitutional. Please do this. It's not about money for Coins Plus. Don't be a fool, though. Please be careful where you buy. Please take care, and I'm sincere. God bless. Protect yourself. Be wise. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.